Treat Dad this Father's Day with great gifts from Menards. From levels, nailers, and drills to complete any project, to tool chests, recliners, and grills, we've got the perfect gifts to make this Father's Day one to remember. Stop by your local Menards today and save big money on gifts for Dad. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
I work as a patrol officer for a very rural law enforcement agency. My patrol sector is a massive stretch of a two-laned highway that cuts directly through a dense, isolated forest. There are no gas stations, no rest stops, and no streetlights for nearly 50 miles. At night, the only light comes from your own headlights. It is a quiet, boring job. Most nights, I do not see another vehicle for hours at a time. I am writing this here because I cannot put any of this in my official report. If I document what actually happened on that highway, I will lose my badge, my pension, and my career. They will send me to a mandatory psychological evaluation. But I need to leave a warning somewhere. If you are ever driving late at night and you see something standing on the side of the road, keep your eyes facing forward. My shift started exactly like any other. It was late, well past midnight. The weather was clear but freezing. I was cruising at the speed limit, drinking mad coffee from a thermos, listening to the low static of my radio. I had not seen another car since I started my patrol. Then, headlights appeared in my rearview mirror. They were approaching fast, but not at a reckless speed. I maintained my pace and let the vehicle pass me. It was an older, dark-colored minivan. As it passed, I noticed the driver was sloppy. The van drifted over the solid yellow line in the center of the road, hovering there for a few seconds, and then jerked sharply back into the correct lane. A few moments later, the passenger side tires drifted over the white shoulder line, kicking up a cloud of gravel and dirt before correcting again. When you work the graveyard shift, an erratic swerve like that usually means one of two things. The driver is either falling asleep at the wheel, or they are heavily intoxicated. Both are extremely dangerous on a dark, narrow road surrounded by heavy timber. I followed my training. I accelerated, closed the distance between my cruiser and the minivan, and flipped the switch for my overhead emergency lights. The red and blue strobes reflected off the tall trees on both sides of the highway, lighting up the dark forest. The driver of the minivan reacted slowly. They continued driving for almost a half a mile before the brake lights finally illuminated. The van pulled over onto a narrow dirt shoulder, stopping at an awkward angle. I pulled my cruiser in behind the van. I angled my vehicle slightly to the left, creating a safety corridor, and put the transmission into park. I unbuckled my seatbelt, grabbed my heavy metal flashlight, and stepped out into the freezing night air. The silence of the highway was overwhelming. The only sound was the low rumble of our idling engines and the crunch of my boots on the gravel. I walked up to the driver's side, keeping my flashlight pointed down. I stopped just behind the driver's side window. I tapped the glass with my flashlight. The window rolled down. I expected to smell the sharp odor of alcohol or to see the blurry, confused eyes of someone waking up from a microsleep. Instead, I saw a mother in a state of absolute panic. She was a middle-aged woman wearing a simple gray sweater. Both of her hands were gripping the steering wheel. She was holding it so hard that her knuckles were entirely white, the skin stretching tight over the bone. Her chest was heaving. She was hyperventilating, pulling in short, ragged breaths through her nose. Tears were streaming down her cheeks, dripping off her chin onto her sweater. She did not turn her head to look at me. She kept her eyes locked dead ahead on the dark highway illuminated by her headlights. "Good evening, ma'am," I said, keeping my voice calm and professional. "I'm pulling you over because you were swerving over the center line. Are you all right?" She did not answer my question. Her right hand let go of the steering wheel. Her hand was trembling so violently she could barely control her fingers. She reached into her pocket, pulled out her driver's license, and thrusted it blindly out the window towards me. I took the plastic card. I looked at it, then looked back at her. She was sweating heavily despite the freezing temperature. The cabin in the minivan smelled like stale air and raw metallic fear. "Ma'am, I need you to look at me," I said. I leaned down slightly to get a better look at her face. "Have you consumed any alcohol tonight? Any medications that might make you drowsy?" She finally turned her head. Her eyes were wide, bloodshot, and filled with a terror so deep it made my own stomach drop. She looked at me.
"Please,"
she whispered. Her voice was shaking, cracking with a desperate sob.
"Please just write the ticket and let me drive."
As she whispered the words, her eyes darted frantically away from my face. She looked past my shoulder, glancing back towards the rear seats of the minivan. Every single alarm bell in my head started ringing. When a driver is terrified, refuses to speak clearly, and keeps checking the back seat, standard procedure changes immediately. You stop treating it like a traffic violation. You start treating it like a hostage situation, a kidnapping or an armed threat. I assumed there was a man with a weapon hiding in the back, forcing her to drive. I gave her her license back, then took a slow, deliberate step backward, creating distance between myself and the driver's window. I moved my right hand to rest firmly on the grip of my service weapon. With my left hand, I raised my heavy metal flashlight and aimed the bright beam directly into the rear driver's side window. There was a man in the back seat. He was sitting perfectly upright, directly in the center of the rear bench. He was wearing a total black tuxedo. The fabric looked incredibly old, but perfectly tailored. He was wearing a wide-brimmed black hat that was pulled down low, completely shadowing his face. He was sitting completely motionless, his hands resting flat on his knees. I aimed the center of my flashlight beam directly at his chest. That is when the rules of physics broke in front of my eyes. My flashlight is a heavy-duty tactical piece of equipment. It produces a blinding high-lumen beam designed to illuminate dark alleys and temporarily blind suspects. When the light hit the glass of the window, it passed through normally. But when the light hit the man in the back seat, it did not illuminate him. The beam of light should have casted shadows behind him. It should have revealed the texture of his suit. should have lit up the interior of the van. Instead, the light simply vanished. The black fabric of his suit swallowed it entirely. The edges of the light seemed to physically bend around his shoulders, curving into the fabric as if his body was a dense, heavy void, pulling the photons inward. He was a perfect, flat silhouette of absolute nothingness, sitting in the back of a cheap minivan.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I moved the flashlight up to illuminate his face. The shadow beneath the brim of his hat was impenetrable. I looked directly at where his eyes should have been. The reaction was instantaneous. A severe, violent wave of vertigo slammed into my brain. The entire highway tilted sideways. The gravel beneath my boots felt like it was shifting. The world spun into a sickening circle, completely destroying my sense of balance. A high-pitched, deafening, ringing noise exploded inside my ears, drowning out the sound of the idling engines. Then, the smell hit me. The overwhelming, suffocating scent of raw copper and old, dried blood rushed into my sinuses. It was so strong I could taste it in the back of my tongue. I felt a sudden warm wetness trickling down my upper lip. I was bleeding from my nose. The blood was dripping down my chin, falling onto the front of my uniform. My legs gave out. The vertigo was too strong. I stumbled backward, my boots crossing over each other. I was gonna fall flat on my back on the gravel shoulder. I was completely incapacitated just by looking at the space where the man's face should have been. Before I hit the ground, the driver's side door of the minivan flew open. The mother threw herself out of the vehicle. She scrambled over the dirt, reaching out with both arms and caught my heavy-duty belt. She stopped me from falling. She hauled me upward, her surprisingly strong grip digging into my uniform shirt. She pulled me close, forcing me to look away from the rear window and down at the gravel. The moment I broke eye contact with the man in the back seat, the vertigo lessened. The ringing in my ears dropped to a low hum. The mother leaned her face directly into my ear. I could feel her hot, frantic breath against my neck. She was sobbing, but she forced the words out in a rapid, desperate whisper.
"He got in my car at the rest stop,"
she whispered rapidly.
"I didn't even open the doors. He was just suddenly in the back seat. He didn't speak. He talked directly into my mind. I heard him inside my head."
She gripped my uniform tighter, shaking me silently to make sure I was listening.
"He told me to drive,"
she sobbed into my ear.
"He told me that if the car stopped moving for more than 5 minutes, that he would take my children from their beds. He showed me what he would do to them. I saw it in my head. I saw it." She was trembling violently against me. "I have to drive," she begged, her voice breaking. "Please, the 5 minutes are almost up. He is counting down. If you keep me here, he will go to my house. You have to let me drive."
She did not wait for my response. She frantically shoved me backward. The push was incredibly strong. I stumbled back a few feet, wiping the blood from my nose with the back of my hand. She turned around, threw herself back into the driver's seat of the minivan, and pulled the heavy door shut. I stood on the gravel shoulder, my head pounding, the metallic taste of copper still heavy in my mouth. I looked down at my watch. 3 minutes had already passed since she had pulled over. I walked up to the driver's window. I kept my eyes locked firmly on the steering wheel. I refused to look at the rear window. I refused to acknowledge the passenger. "Drive," I told her. My voice was hoarse. She looked up at me, fresh tears spilling over her eyelids.
"Thank you,"
she mouthed silently. "Put the van in drive," I ordered. "Do not speed. Do not swerve. I'm going to get in my cruiser and follow you with my emergency lights on. I will escort you straight to the county line. Keep moving." She nodded frantically. She grabbed the gear shift and pulled it down into drive. I turned around and walked back to my cruiser. My legs felt heavy, like I was walking through deep mud. I opened the door, climbed into the driver's seat, and locked the doors. I grabbed a napkin from the center console and pressed it against my nose to stop the bleeding. The minivan pulled slowly back onto the highway, accelerating to the speed limit. I put my cruiser in drive and pulled out behind her. I kept my red and blue emergency strobes flashing. I stayed exactly 3 car lengths behind her rear bumper. The drive to the county line took exactly 14 minutes. It was the longest 14 minutes of my entire life. The silence in my cruiser was deafening. My radio remained completely quiet. The highway was entirely quiet. I drove with both hands gripping the steering wheel, my eyes locked on the red taillights of the minivan ahead of me. I refused to look closely into the interior of the van through the back window. I focused entirely on the road. I knew by doing this I was breaking every rule in the manual. I was letting a distressed driver operate a vehicle with a known threat inside. If she crashed, if she hurt someone, it would be entirely my fault. But the pressure in my head, the lingering smell of copper, told me I made the only choice that would keep her children alive. The county border is marked with a large, reflective green sign on the right side of the highway, indicating the entrance to the neighboring jurisdiction. The dense pine forest begins to thin out just past the sign, opening up into flat, darker fields. We approached the green sign. The minivan was maintaining a perfect speed. As the front bumper of the minivan crossed the invisible border of the county line, the minivan did not slow down. It did not hit the brakes. It continued moving forward at exactly 55 miles per hour. But my headlights illuminated the rear passenger door on the driver's side, swinging wide open. The heavy metal door caught the wind, flying open against the rushing air. The man in the black tuxedo stepped out of the moving vehicle. He simply stepped out of the cab, planting his feet onto the asphalt while the van was moving at high speeds. He stepped out of the speeding car and instantly stood perfectly still on the center line of the highway. The passenger door of the minivan slammed shut on its own. The mother kept driving, her taillights fading into the distance down the road, finally free of the countdown. I was driving directly towards the man standing in the middle of the road. I slammed my foot onto the brake pedal. The heavy cruiser pitched forward, the anti-lock brakes stuttering violently as the tires gripped the asphalt. I came to a complete shuddering stop about 50 feet away from him. My headlights were shining directly at his back. The bright halogen bulbs did absolutely nothing to illuminate him. He was a perfect pitch-black void standing on the painted yellow lines. The light bent around the edges of his suit, swallowed by the fabric. I sat in my cruiser, my heart hammering against my ribs. I did not touch my radio or even touch my weapon. I just watched him. He slowly turned to his left, facing the dark fields on the side of the road. He took a slow, deliberate step forward, then another. He walked across the shoulder, stepping off the asphalt and into the tall grass, then disappearing completely. I sat alone on the highway for a long time. The bleeding from my nose had stopped, but the metallic taste was still burning in the back of my throat. I turned my patrol cruiser around and drove back to the station. I parked my vehicle in the back lot. I walked inside, went to the locker room, and washed the dried blood off of my face. I changed my uniform shirt. I did not speak to anyone on my shift. Before I sat down at my desk to write a fake, entirely fabricated report about a routine traffic stop that ended in a simple warning, I needed to know what had been captured on video.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 biggie bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash too. $4, $6, and $8 biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Every patrol cruiser in our department is equipped with a dashboard camera. It begins recording automatically the moment the overhead emergency lights are activated, and it captured both video and audio of the entire traffic stop. I went to the equipment room, pulled the secure digital card from my cruiser system, and plugged it into the viewing terminal. I opened the video file from the traffic stop. The screen showed my cruiser pulling up behind the minivan on the dark highway. The video quality was crisp. It showed me stepping out of the vehicle and walking up to the driver's window. But the moment I stepped backward and shined my flashlight into the rear window of the minivan, the video feed corrupted. The screen instantly turned to harsh, violent static. The visual feed was completely destroyed, replaced by jumping gray and white noise. The timestamp in the corner of the screen continued to run, proving the camera was still recording, but the image was ruined. I listened to the audio track. The audio had also been corrupted. The sound of the idling engines, the wind, the crunch of the gravel, it was all gone. It was replaced by a deep static. It sounded like the low hum of a massive electrical transformer. I put on a pair of headphones. I turned the volume up, straining to hear if the microphone had picked up the mother's whispered explanation. There was no sound of the mother crying. There was no sound of my boots on the gravel. But beneath the humming static, there was a sound. It was a voice. It was a harsh, dry whisper. It sounded like multiple voices speaking at the exact same time, overlapping perfectly. The voice repeated a single sentence over and over again for the entire 14 minutes of the corrupt video file. Do not acknowledge me. I pulled the headphones off of my ears. My hands were shaking so badly I dropped them onto the floor. I deleted the video file from the terminal. I wiped the digital card completely clean. I wrote my fake report, finished my shift, and went home. I am writing this here because I need you to understand how to stay alive. If you are driving down a dark, isolated stretch of road late at night, if you look in your rearview mirror and you see a shadow sitting in your back seat that was not there a minute ago, if you feel a sudden crushing vertigo and smell raw copper filling your car, do not look in the rearview mirror again. Do not turn around. Do not acknowledge him. Well, 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 that is wrapping up tonight's terrifying police story. Whew. Night shifts are scary by themselves, but being in a rural road in the middle of nowhere as a cop, seeing something like that would, yeah. Time for a new career, buddy. That's simply wild. So what do you guys think this entity is? It's obviously some type of paranormal entity, right? Because it disappears. It's not a cryptid. It's definitely some spirit, ghost, poltergeist, something, right? The whole suit and top hat, that's really got me thinking the Hat Man from other stories that I've read in the past. If you don't know about the Hat Man, look it up. But I always thought the Hat Man was kind of a closet paranormal thing, not in a car telling you to waste gas. And we all know how expensive gas is right now, right? Can't be a waste in the gas now. So, Mr. Tuxedo Man, Hat Man, screw off, because gas ain't cheap, buddy. Go spook somebody else, because I don't got that kind of money. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. If you want to support us more, pick up a t-shirt on our Teespring. Join the Patreon for a lot of exclusives that are only on there. And go to sleep to me tonight on Spotify. Have a good night and stay spooky.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.